Thought about an old song my mama used to sing. She'd say, as Jacob was traveling, was weary one day, not on a stone for a pillow did lay. A vision appeared of a ladder so high, it stood on the earth while the top reached the sky. Hallelujah to Jesus who died on the tree to raise up this ladder of mercy for me. Press onward, climb upward, the top is in view, and a crown of bright glory awaiting for you. This ladder so tall and yet so well made stood thousands of years, but it's never decayed. It went from the heavens, it reeled and it rocked, but the angels, they guard it from bottom to top. Hallelujah to Jesus who died on the tree to raise up this ladder of mercy for me. Press onward, climb upward, top is in view, and a crown of bright glory awaiting for you. Oh, I say, Mama, I don't know what makes you sing like that.
Yeah.
Don't understand it, Mama. Won't nobody go to church with you? Daddy won't go? I surely God ain't going. Sister won't go? I said, Mama, what makes you sing like that? She says, it's the Lord, son, it's the Lord. I said, Mama, I said, I can't understand it. I said, I sure don't feel like singing. And I don't see how you always get up on Sunday morning a singing. She'd say, it's the Lord, son, it's the Lord. Oh, and I got saved. I just joined old Mama and I said, it is the Lord, Mama. You're right, it's the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, she knows what you're talking about. Oh, Mama. Sometime I've been meeting with her, not often now, but I get to. I get her up with me. Me and her will sing some old hymn out of the book. Mama raised a little hand. Praise God for a preacher boy. Why, she thinks I'm Billy Sunday. Huh? Why, she would cry at me with all my wounded. And all the whiskers he had on his face, he wouldn't trade me for her.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that soul, but you never could convince my old gray head mama that.
Yeah.
She thinks I'm preacher, preacher, boy.
Yeah.
I don't ever tell her no different. I don't say amen, mama.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. I want to preach to you tonight an old message. I want to preach to you on God's amazing grace.
Yeah.
God's amazing grace tonight. Well, I was said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. How about that? My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. But Dave, you will leave while we're praying, brother.
Father God, we thank you, Lord.
All right, look for the Bible in chapter 12, verse 9. The Bible said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Now, that's true in Paul's day, that God's grace is sufficient for whatever the need was. And I'll tell you, 1986, brother, God's amazing grace is still sufficient.
Yeah.
Don't matter what no doctor's telling you. Don't matter what no professor's telling you. I mean, God's got grace today, brother.
Yeah.
Somebody said God can't do it. God can do it. God's got grace today. I mean, it's sufficient for the valleys, the problems, the circumstances, whatever's wrong in your life. God's got grace for you.
Yeah.
The Bible said in verse 9, he said, "My grace is." Somebody said, "What does that little word is mean?" That meant it was present grace right then. I mean, he said, "My grace is." That ain't next week. That ain't tomorrow. That ain't next month. But that present grace. And I'm glad God's got grace for right now, ain't you? I mean, sometimes, brother, I couldn't wait till next week. I couldn't wait till next month. Sometimes I need a touch of God. Right now, I mean, he said, "My grace here." That meant it was present grace. He said, "My grace here, sufficient." Somebody said, "What does sufficient mean?" That meant it was plenteous grace. Not only is it present grace, but it's plenteous grace. I mean, there's grace and more grace. And somebody said there's a gas shortage. Some of the farmers says they the water shortage. And some of them says they the shortage on foreigners. But you ain't never been to Miami if you believe that, brother. But somebody said they the shortage on this and that. But I want to tell you tonight, there's plenty of God's amazing grace. I mean, well, the river and the waters may run dry, but God's got grace tonight, and there's more grace to go around. He said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." That "for thee" meant it was personal grace. I mean, I'm glad you got saved. I'm glad every one of you got in by the grace of God. But I'm glad I got in, brother. I mean, all grace, personal grace. I'm glad the children got in. I'm glad them children up here a while ago singing about God. That blessed my heart, brother. Somebody said, "Why could they sing like that?" Because God's amazing grace.
Yeah.
I mean, that grace, brother, reaches down and changes women, or women, men, and boys' lives. That grace will get the job done. Personal grace. I'm glad of that tonight. I thought about an old outlaw. A man that's enslaved, trading, heart have died, should have died, he's guilty. He's riding around all over his country, selling people into slavery and bondage. One day, him a slave himself in bondage, he got under conviction by the Holy Ghost of God, and the Lord dealt with his heart, and old John Newton pinned down the song, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see."
Yeah.
I thought about old William Copper over there on the London Bridge going to commit suicide. Eyes wretched and about to kill himself. And God dealt with old William Copper. He got out on that bridge and got saved and pinned down the song. There's a fountain filled with water. God's amazing grace has transformed and changed people down through the ages. I mean, somebody said, now the Bible says, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Somebody said, "What does that 'my' mean?" That means he's the author of this grace. It ain't your grace. It ain't my grace. But it's his grace, brother.
Yeah.
And he gives it out like he wants to give it out tonight. I mean, I thought about that. If he's the author of this grace, what kind of grace does he have? Well, first of all, tonight he's got saving grace. I mean, I like saving grace, don't you? How somebody said, "Oh, they all the time talk about hyper-Calvinism, hyper-dispensationalism. I'm hyper-gracism, amen? That's what I am, brother.
Yeah.
I'm hyper-gracism. down to Alabama prison a while back. Old black man, about 60 year old. He had done 30 years in the penitentiary, named Sanders. He is my solo singer in my meetings. I'd play for him and he had sang. I mean, he sang too, brother. Boy, he got through, I was ready to preach every time.
Yeah.
He'd sang them good old black spiritual. And I said, thank God, Sanders, you done? He'd say, I'm done, preacher. I'd say, well, I'm ready, brother. Get your feet over there and let's preach a while.
Yeah.
Oh, we work together like a pair of mules, day in and day out. Oh, Sanders, he'd say country. He'd say, play the piano for me, country. I'd strike him a chord, he'd say, and God would come through that place. It's getting good tonight.
Yeah.
We might need a senile dog to get out of here after a while.
Yeah.
I like it, brother.
Yeah.
When God comes by, amen.
Yeah.
I was up there teaching a Bible study in the morning. You never would think I'd do no teaching, would you?
Yeah.
I was trying to teach the book of Job in the morning there in the prison. Old Sanders was sitting over here to my left. And the call came through the intercom system. Said, Sanders, come up to the front office where the guard sat here. He went up there and I figured it was over a bunk change or maybe a visiting list or something like that. And we went on about our meeting and I went out to the chow hall to eat dinner with him. You know a Baptist preacher ain't gonna miss dinner time if they feed. And I called for dinner time, went down there going to eat with him, and I looked over at the gate. Over at the gate where the guard checks one in the front office and the psychiatrist, all the psychologists and the personal workers, there they were. And I stood old man Sanders over there, that old black man, gray-headed, done 30 years in the penitentiary. There he stood with a three-piece suit on. Oh, I mean, he had one of them Goodwill suits on. That thing was about gold color, and he had an old ragged t-shirt up under that bed. And that coat on that bed, and them boogie-ass shoes they give you in prison, and them with his legs rolled up, he's a hollering, come here, preacher, let me talk to you. I walked over and said, Sanders, what you doing in them clothes you got on? He said, preacher, how I look? I said, you look like a convict, Sanders. He said, oh, preacher, I know what you say there. I said, what you doing in them clothes on? He said, brother Danny, said, I've been here a long time, son. But this morning, they told me they're fixing a parole, man, turn me loose. I said, sir, there, you better quit lying, tell me the truth. He said, brother Danny, let me show you my paper. He reached in that pocket and pulled out the paper. It said, Sanders, parole on December the 22nd of 1985. I said, Sanders, I don't believe it. He said, I don't either, Danny, but I'm leaving here this morning. I'm going to go out of here and live for God, son. I said, Brother Sanders, what you going to do? When they walk up to you and tell you you look like a convict, he said, I'm going to pull out my paper and show them I've been paroled. Some of them said, old Temple, he is always an outlaw, and I don't believe he got saved, but I just pull out my paper. I'm talking about saving grace, brother. Preaching now and getting people out of sin. I remember one time, me and my wife out visiting. Door knocking, we've been all day. I mean, didn't look like nothing's gonna happen. Looked like everything is in vain. Went knocked on the door, trying to get somebody to go to Sunday school. And there nobody wouldn't go. Finally, we came to the house. Four of those snotty-nosed young'uns come running out. They're dirty. They're snotty-nosed. They look like nobody cared about them. Hey, one of them grabbed me around the leg. Said, preacher, we'll go with you in the morning.
Yeah.
I said, hallelujah. I got me four children that are going to meet with me in the morning. Her mama was a drunk addict. Her daddy was a dope addict. Her nobody wanted nobody to do with her. But they're no children, boy. They wanted somebody to come by and get up. A week after week went by. We went by and got them children. But they're dirty. youngest riding around with me. I mean, I was glad, brother, from the get in there with me. I mean, it do us good sometimes to go down the gully, go down the alley, and get somebody that's in sin, in depravity, and get out there in the ditch with them, and say, God, help me, and I want them to God. God, I'm enjoying this, ain't you?
Yeah.
Oh, we not get on saving grace, but don't I finish up later? I'm talking about saving grace. I mean saving grace. We went over and got them youngest one night. And I supposed to be preaching, so I went and had a cancellation. You ever had a cancellation? I've had several of them.
Yeah.
Several cancellations. But I'm telling you why I'm feeling sorry for myself. But God was working something out on the other end. Yeah. I told my wife, I said, huh, we never went back and got them on Sunday night, but we're off tonight going to our home church. Let's go by and get them youngest and give them a good blessing tonight. We drove up in that yard that night, and guess who walked out on the porch dressed ready to go to church? All them four youngest sitting there waiting on somebody to come get them, but mama and daddy's ready too.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I get out of that candle bed because it's fire. Hallelujah, children. I'm praying to mama and daddy. Let's go to meet tonight. We got there in the church now. We went up there in the choir. The glory of God began to fall. We're singing something over here. But them young uncles were running around like a patchy Indian back in the back.
Yeah.
Mama and daddy couldn't pay no attention. And the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart and said, why don't you go back there and get them young uns and see if the more mama and daddy can hear a gospel message. I mean, brother, I didn't put it off on the wife. I didn't call in the good sister. I just went and got them a sale. Amen, Dennis.
Amen.
See, I was afraid I got orders from headquarters. I was afraid to give orders to somebody else. Because it looked like it had my name on them.
Yeah.
I just know if I can't get them.
Yeah.
And took them down the nursery. And there they were. Well, my old preacher upstairs, he was a preaching hell on heaven sweet, brother. I mean, cat meat was on. I'd watch him youngins and pray, say, God, save old Jesse. God, save Jesse and Rachel, Stephanie's mama. Oh, God, save them tonight. God, save them, wash them in the blood. I mean, about closing time, it got invitation time. I listened to me on the speaker down there. I mean, my preacher was shelling the corn, brother. He wasn't cutting no slack with him. He was a preaching the Bible.
Yeah, yeah,
Lord. Amen. Him younger said, about invitation time, the devil came in that room where we was at. He said, that little girl, that little boy said, I want my mom. I want my dad. I got in front of that door and I said, young, if you stay with me this far, you gonna stay with me till the meeting's over. I mean, brother, I wouldn't go let the devil defeat us this early in the game. It wasn't but about 10 minutes, there come a knock on the door. It's one of them sisters upstairs. They said, brother Danny, Jesse's mom and daddy's down there on the altar, and they're calling for you to come pray with them.
Yeah.
Catholic girl get saved by the grace of God. I seen an old girl by the daddy get cleaned up by the grace of God.
Yeah.
You tell me, brother, it's out of style. I'll tell you it's in style.
Yeah.
I mean, God can still work a miracle by the amazing grace of God.
Yeah.
Saving grace.
Yeah.
Ah, Lord, have mercy. I'm talking about saving grace. I see my old daddy yonder in the hills of Alabama, married my mama 40 years. 40 years of marriage. He retired from a steel mill, went to drinking and running around, acted a fool, and divorced my mama and left. You know what my mama did? My mama got on her face to God. I said, God, I want you to do something with my husband. Oh, I said, Mama, hey, you told such a load. She said, son, I got the Lord in here.
Yeah.
Oh, she never did stop saying. She never did stop praying. She never did stop going to meet her. But she is looking for God to bring some saving grace on the scene.
Yeah.
About 4 years ago, we was in a revival meeting about like this tonight. And things are getting good, and I mean getting sweet. I saw my old daddy walk in the door back yonder, come in the house of God and sit down. That altar call time, I saw him hang his head down there where he's at. All of a sudden, I saw my daddy get up and make his way to the old-fashioned altar. But God, I saw my daddy get right with God, complete with God. I saw God's amazing grace. I'd do something for his life. 2 years ago, Christmas, I took an old King James Bible and married my mom and daddy back together again.
Them people didn't like you. I said, they didn't.
he said, you know you're killing yourself driving up this road preaching like you preach. And he said, you know what that old preacher told me when I started. He said, if you don't quit preaching like you're preaching, he said, you ain't going to be able to sing. And he said, when you get where you can't sing, he said, you ain't going to have no meetings. And the devil said, you know that to be a fact. You're holding that to your heart at all. I said, you're right again.
Yeah.
No, the conversation was really getting mushy. We went up a road. We got up through Birmingham, up to Gary. Then we turned off and got up to Sand Mountain where I live. But another visitor entered the car about that time.
Yeah!
I'm an old friend. But a guy, my counselor.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The living the bag.
Yeah.
He entered that car and he said, son, who called you to preach? I said, you did. He said, who qualified you to preach? I said, you did. He said, who's been supplying your need while you preaching? I said, you did. He said, run the devil out then. Quit paying his gas bill. We rolled on a prayer in the yard. I'm trying to get right with God, get stuff out of my heart. Brother, I'm talking about squeezing and grave. I got a further car, got out of my yard, woke up the front porch. My wife met me in the door and said, guess what happened tonight? What you doing up in wee hours of the morning? He said, oh, I'm tired. She said, I just wanted to tell you what happened. I said, what happened? She said, baby girl Allison got saved tonight while you was gone.
Yeah.
I'm talking about strengthening grace. I said, honey, if you don't mind, I'd like you to sell me a horse. And watch this said, I put me in a clean purse off. I feel like riding in the morning early. I want to preach about God's grace again. Oh, Lord God, I'm talking about spiritual grace. When they do need, when you're weary, when you can't go on, let God get grace. Point number four. I mean, he got saddling grace. Saddling grace. I don't know about you, when I started out preaching, I don't dehorn the goat, you know. I knew everything they wanted to know about preaching. I mean, I could answer your prophetical questions. I could answer your doctrinal questions. We'd make all the divisions in the Word of God. Hadn't been saved 3 months. I mean, no, everything. Just ask me anything about the Bible. I mean, I'm the first class smart aleck, what I was. I mean, brother, I know all at once. No, nobody could tell me nothing. But brother, 12 years down the road now, as I look back, brother, it ain't me, but it's God we need, brother. I mean, God's the one we need. It ain't Dr. Whistle Richard, that sounding brass or tinkling cymbal, but it's God we need. Settling grace. Best way to settle a man, he had to take me down the woodshed several times. When I come back, I wished I hadn't been, but it was settling me in the grace of God. It stopped you running. And here to yonder, looking here, looking there. Just settle down somewhere, camp out. Enjoy the blessings of God. Amen. Find out where God wants you. Get your good seat and just kind of settle in. Say, God, what's next? Amen. How many of God believes in the church? He's a Bible believing preacher and he lives right and wants to do right. There ain't no need to go 100 miles looking somewhere else. Just settle in here. Say, God bless me. God use me. God help me. God settle me and use me in the grace of God. Point number five. They school in grace. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God to bring salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us, denying ungodliness, worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's schooling grace. You know what we mess up at? We want to put the rules and the regulations on a Christian when they get saved. We want to give them our set of rules and say, this is how it's going to be. Oh, yeah. It ain't just preachers. It's Christians. Somebody get saved, just a brand new baby in Christ. That's right, you know you had to give up smoking. You had to give up chewing. And I can say this, I don't smoke, dip, nor chew, nor run with those that do. But brother, I mean, them rules and regulations, they'll kill you, Christian. What we turn into is just little fools. What them little regulations on say, you ought not wear this. You ought not wear that. You ought not wear your hair like this. Huh? Oh yeah, brother, we'll do it. I say, brother, let God deal with a man. Let him work in a man's life. Let grace teach him and school him and burn sin out of it and wait on God to do it and keep your hands off of him. My daddy chews tobacco and he'll be chewing tobacco next time you see me. He ain't gonna quit. I don't agree with it, but he's gonna do it. He said to something you're old. He'll shoot you, run you out of your house. You went in there bought his tobacco. Now I'd rather him come and sit over in the corner and take a look at you every now and then and try to serve God. I had to run him out the door. I had. I mean, brother, God's grace will screw the man, but you gotta wait on God to do it. Hey, I was playing ball and I got saved. I've worked all my life to be a ball player. I played college basketball and God saved me. I had on them little shorts out there. I'd run out there playing, had long hair. And there I was, other things I won't mention I was doing. But I was wild and crazy. When God saved me, when I got saved, God can feel me. After a while, I went in there and seen my coach. And I give him my shorts. And I said, buddy, I won't be back out here no more. I said, God saved me, and I don't feel right no more dressed like this out here in front of y'all. I said, the cheerleaders over there dressed half clothed, and me over here. I said, that just won't work for me. Didn't nobody have to tell me. Hey, the night I got saved, I had long hair. I come in that night, God saved me, and I had long hair.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, I mean, I'm still saved, too. 12 years, they said, it won't last till the corn comes in. They give a crop 12 years, and now they plant another, and it's still real in my heart. I come home that night and never read the Bible. Didn't know nothing. All I know was a booger man had moved out, and God had moved in. I said, Daddy, I said, if you will, Daddy, for me and Mama had a little Baptist coastal spell around the living room when I got home that night, you know, holy dance. Do you good sometimes?
Yeah.
I said, Daddy, I said, I don't know nothing about God, I don't know about church, but I said, I know I'm brand new tonight. I said, if you will, Daddy, I want you to take them shears over there and cut my hair off tonight. I said, I don't know much about it, but I feel new inside. I'd like to new now. I like to look new when the sun comes up in the morning. Daddy took some shears. I look like I've been through a weed eater. I look wild. I'm a poodle dog. I'll tell you one thing. Glory to God. It's bubbling in my soul. I didn't know how to dress. I know nothing. That preacher that night had on a long sleeve white shirt with a collar button right here. I got up the next morning and dug out one of my old daddy's white shirts with long sleeves. Put it on and buttoned that top up. Walked out in the sunshine. Man, they thought I was gone crazy. But I'm telling you, the glory of God was beating right here, brother. His amazing grace had come in my heart. I walked around that day. You talk about honey and booty. I was honey and booty. I didn't know that rage in hell and fussing in church. Oh, I know that. Brother, I'm still enjoying it.
Yeah.
Point number six.
Yeah.
A sufficient grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. That's a good definition for grace. God's redemption at Christ's expense. That's a good definition. Or God's resources at Christ's expense. There's an abundant supply of the grace of God. There's an inexhaustible supply. There's an all-sufficient supply. I like what that old songwriter said. Grace for you, grace for me. Grace for every need. Whatever it is, there's grace. For temptations, I like for trials. What about this, brother? For tongue lashings. You ever had a good tongue lashing? I mean, somebody just strike you with their tongue. There's grace for that, brother. There's grace for that. For termination of life. Let me give you this. Temptation is a solicitation from below, never from above. Temptation. He wants us to ease up, slack up, compromise any way he can get to us. Compromise is the devil's way of giving us compromise on the installment plans. It's always just a little here and a little there. Just do this. Just do that. Just let up here. They tell me, they said, brother, you can book up north. They'll preach you up north all over the country. You'll just mellow out a little bit, not be so loud. And don't run around when you preach. And don't scream quite as loud. And don't be quiet as fast as you preach. Just slow down a little and kind of pre-teach, you know. Kind of hit the middle of the road. Man, I'd rather be back down in the watermelon pond. I'd rather be anywhere than preaching like God wants me to. I ain't easy enough. I ain't slacking out. I ain't quitting self. Brother, they had it. And just lie back and enjoy the blessings of God. God's the author of this grace, and it's an abundance. And he appropriates the grace of God. I like it. Appropriation. That's a big word for a country boy. That's good. Appropriation. I like it. Now see, if I give you the grace, I might favor somebody. But the Lord distributes that grace out equally. Amen. To the poor, to the rich. Butcher, baker, candlestick maker. The Lord's got that grace. He appropriates it. I like what Hebrews 4:14 said. So let us come bold to the throne of grace. We might obtain mercy. I like that, don't you? Man, he said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I said, Lord, one time I said, Lord, goodness. I said, they sure ain't much goodness about me. He said, that's why I give you mercy too. That's my running partners. It's his goodness and his mercy. And I'm pleading for his mercy. Amen? I'm like an old black convict. He said, Brother Danny, he said, when I went to court the other day, I didn't want justice. I pled mercy. Amen? Yeah, I said, boy, I know what you're talking about. It ain't justice we need. It's mercy. Amen? Then there's the anticipation of that grace of God. He said, wherefore, gird up your loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That grace is going to be manifested in the rapture and the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I mean, These youngins a while ago, they're singing about that camp dance. I like that. Amen? I started to get up and blast off with them. Oh, I like that. Amen? How many of y'all like that blasting off as they do it? Somebody said they launched that rocket down there in Cape Canaveral. I think it's Mr. Glenn was the first astronaut. I said, that ain't so. They lying. That ain't so. You know who the first astronaut was? Oh, Enoch. Amen. How many the Bible said he was and he was not? He was an astronaut. He was a was not. Amen. How many? Oh, Enoch! He walked with God and God blasted him off one day. Left here with him. Amen. That's Prince Layton Grace. Amen. Hallelujah. Prince Layton Grace. But then they France Horton Graves, amen. I mean, you better check in right here at the office. Then you better check up daily, because someday we're soon to check out of here, amen. I'm leaving out of here, brother. I'm leaving here, brother, like Superman, and coming back like the Lone Ranger, amen. I mean, brother, and grace, and grace. Get us out of here. Oh, ain't God good tonight? I feel like he's come in and sat down in here somewhere less than I. Salvation commits us in grace. Salvation continues us in grace. Salvation consummates us to grace. Someday there'll be grace to leave this world. Transporting grace. Someday to leave this world. Somebody said, Brother Dan, do you really believe that? I do. I'm honest, I do. Now somebody said, Brother Dan, I ain't scared to die. Won't you quit lying? You know you are, and I am too. If you ain't, why ain't you out here trying to get a bus load up? Leave tonight. But listen, you know why we're scared to die? Because it ain't time to die. When it comes dying time, there'll be that grace. I remember an old man, hey, what if you're in here? What do you call that time? That's burning in Christians. Come on, doctor, what is that? When it's burning in Christians? Dark ages. Either was this man beside his family. And they went to God and they hid in the loft and drug him out of his loft. There they was. There they was. They headed to the cross, they was going to kill him. It was bad. And the Christians gathered around that where they was going to burn the stake that day. And they said, if it's really real, if God's really real, it's dying time. I believe his name was Knox, John Knox. And it was dying time. They said, if you will, he said, just raise one hand. Wait, that's God really real right there at dying time. He said, I will. They tied him up to that stake. Put that wood around him. Set that fire. And lead it. Ah, the little Christians huddled around watching him. And that fire engulfed him. And the skin, the flesh began to melt, the sinews began to cook, smell, smoke. They watched him. It looked like the life left his body. And the Christians said, all of a sudden, them ropes burned into on his hands. He raised both hands up high. And set in the car, Bumblebee flew in. He said, the boy said, Daddy, let me have that bumblebee. He said, son, that'd be a sting you, it'll sting you. The boy said, I'm gonna have that bee. Well, his daddy sent that bee lit on the dash in the car. He took a book and come down across that bee and just barely caught the back end of that bumblebee and his stinger mashed down. Come out of there, and the core and the stinger, and the bumblebee could still he could still fly, he could still buzz, but his stinger was gone. He reached over and gave him that little ball, and he just played with it. And the boy couldn't be stung because there wasn't no stinger left in that bee. That's what Jesus done, brother. He went through death and took out the sting of death. And now it's in play, brother, our victory. A death wins our sting. I mean, brother, at the cross, and we'll see. He'll be waiting for me. The Lord's coming back and redeem us, the other man. Paul said, bring my parchments. And when you come, said, bring my cloak and bring my parchments. He wanted them one more glance at them parchments.